surprise to come out of the game still with that much time left, still a three-score game?
I mean,
it is what it is. So,
you know, you got to make Tom blank.
Dale Arnold.
Sorry for being a-hole, but we got outplayed, so thank you.
Rich Keefe.
This is his final period of time as a Patriot. He's
hell yeah, personal. That's what happens when you go cheat. You get your ass kicked.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
But tremendous coverage by Adoree Jackson. That was adorable.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So, Rich, I have good news from yesterday's Patriots
I love good
tilt.
News. I doubt it, but
you know,
go ahead.
Try to find the glasses half full moment. I have some good news.
Yes.
Yesterday, Tom Brady became only the second player in the history of the National Football League to catch a pass at the age of 41 or later, the other being Jerry Rice.
Pretty good company.
Could we maybe never do this again?
Ever. Really dumb.
Why do
really
they
dumb.
Keep going back?
I don't get it.
He looks like Bambi on ice when he's running with the football. Why do they hey, I got an idea. Let's fool him with the old throw the pass to Tom Brady trick.
Not fooling anybody. And if you do fool him, he still gives you plenty of time to catch up to him every single time.
And,
if he catches
and
it.
And trips over a yard marker.
So Josh McDaniels is a good offensive coordinator, right? At least this is what I'm led to believe. Good offensive coordinator.
I've heard that.
Pretty good offensive coordinator. Why does he do that? Why does he ever do that? It doesn't make any sense. And then I love that the Titans did it right back. They're like, oh, we have a quarterback who runs like a 4.4 40. We're going to throw it to
We're
him.
Throw
it's going to look a lot more athletic.
See if he trips over a
– Why put Brady in that spot ever? Now, there's so much more to the game.
One of those plays that, you know, I wish I would have done a better job of. So
it's not even his fault. It's just the dumbest play in the world. You have the greatest quarterback ever. So we always talk about how, you know, back when the Wildcat was in fashion – and people would say, well, what about trying that here? You say, no, why would you do that?
You have
the
best a quarterback who's
yeah, you
really
don't need to.
Good.
You're like, oh, okay. It's like, what about throwing to the quarterback? No. Marcus Mariota did that in college. They would throw to him. Like, in Oregon, they would do all kinds of crazy stuff. And he has elite speed for a quarterback. He has wide receiver speed for a quarterback. Brady doesn't. So, first of all, it was a surprise that he caught it. And then to see him, you know, stumble around.
Stumble, bumble.
And then still he's short of the first down. And what are you
and
pulling
they,
that
and
out?
The fourth down play went well, too.
And what are you, down 14 when you ran that play or whatever it was? Like,
yeah.
That kind of summed up the game because then you fall short, literally fall short of the first down. Fourth and one, you're going for it, jump off sides.
You know,
awful, awful game.
As I'm watching the game yesterday, and all of us were watching the game yesterday, because I'm selfish, I was thinking to myself, oh, it's going to be a blast going down to Gillette tomorrow. It'll be a real chuckle hut down there. Mm-hmm. We're getting together with our
yes.
advertisers,
yes,
our
we
clients.
Are.
We're happy to have them all here. James White, Trey Flowers, going to join us in this chair right here.
Right
They're
next
going
to me.
Be in great moods today, too.
Oh, they should be.
And I'm thinking, oh, we got a lovely view of the stadium behind us. We're at the club level. Everything's great. Except that was awful.
Just awful. Going to be a long bye week. You know, they always say that, you know, when you play poorly, like at least you can come back the next week and get a, you know, try to put that behind you. But now you have to think about it for two full weeks before you get back out on the field. That was bad everywhere. Like there, like you joked about the lone bright spot. That might have been it. Like there really wasn't anything
was
you can latch onto.
That
no, I know
too,
you were.
So.
I mean, like, but there's nothing you can really latch onto there. Like pick a player, pick a side of the ball. It doesn't matter. It was bad yesterday.
I've been saying all season long that you are seeing slight slippage in Tom Brady's game. I've seen him miss passes I'm not used to seeing him miss. I'm seeing him, you know, misread things that I'm not used to seeing him misread. He missed James White on a wide-open slant pass in the first quarter yesterday, threw it 3 feet behind him, and I'm thinking, that's not Brady.
No, and he also was feeling the pressure yesterday.
Sure.
And I think part of it was this was the first game, and they've had issues on the offensive line. Obviously, no Shaq Mason. Now, last week, we weren't saying a word about it. Ted Karras stepped in there, and they coached him up, and they had the right scheme, and it was fine. But yesterday, obviously no Shaq Mason. Then they're playing, like, musical tackles. Like, they're moving those guys all around. You know, Trent Brown's out. Marcus Cannon's out.
It was obvious Trent Brown was not quite 100%. He had missed practice time earlier in the week because of illness.
Right? Yeah.
I do not believe that some you know, Himalayan flu had swept through the Patriots locker room.
Like an outbreak situation?
I don't think, and I heard a bit of the post-game, real post-game show. I don't think there was a bunch of guys sick.
I think some of the guys were sick, but whatever. Like that's just what it was. And so, but anyway, they're moving those guys around, and it was one of the first games that you actually felt like that was the case. Normally, you say, "Hey, they'll take whatever five guys they have, and they'll protect." But Brady got sacked 3 times. It felt like even worse than that. There were a few times where he just gave up on plays because he could feel the pressure coming. There were times where I felt like normally he might step up and make a throw. He either went down or threw it away maybe prematurely. And that's another part of it where not only was he missing throws, I think he had – I don't know if it really was the case that there were guys closer to him than normal or if he just felt like they were, because he was getting rid of the ball like you might see like a younger quarterback do.
We talked about this earlier in the day when we were discussing the show today. And in the past, Tom Brady's always been known as throwing to the open guy. Mm. Now he seems to want to throw to the exact same guy over and over and over.
So three guys. It comes down to three guys. Edelman, so he had 41 pass attempts in the game. 12 went to Edelman, 12 went to Gordon, 8 went to James White. So that's not a whole lot else to go around to the other guys. You know, Philip Dorsett, Jacob Hollister each had 2, and then Dwayne Allen and Chris Hogan each had 1. Now, Chris Hogan...
If you're Chris Hogan and you have the same number of pass attempts as Dwayne Allen, you got a problem.
That is a big... And even Tom Brady had as many thrown his
that's
way.
That's true, too. I forgot about Chris that Hogan whole 41-year-old thing.
It just... You know... Yeah, the kind of forcing it to Gordon. And, you know, I want that to be something that later on in the season they can rely on. Like, they can go to Gordon. So I can understand why you'd want to go to him a little bit more. But yesterday was sort of all right, are you affecting the offense today in order to help you out down the road? Because before, you know, if you're doing it in a win and he gets a couple more targets than normal, but you still beat the Bears or you still beat the Bills or whatever, then that's fine. But in a game like this where the offense was really struggling, I don't know why they kept forcing it.
Can we talk even more about unimaginative play calling? Because, look, I don't have to be Mike Vrabel to know that if James White is in the game, they're going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
If Sony Michelle is in the game, they're going to run the ball. And they don't ever mix that up. At least they didn't yesterday. It was every single time those guys were in, that's the way the play call went. If you're the Tennessee Titans, you know exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's funny because they got away with that for a few weeks. Like, that's not new. Like, every time Sony Michel's in there, like, the first couple of games that he played, remember they tried throwing the ball and it didn't really look right. Like, either he ran the wrong route or Brady threw it behind him and they didn't seem to be on the same page. But now it seems like you put Sony Michel. Now, I know he was hurt, so that sort of changes things. But when he was out there, it's 20 carries for him. And then when James White's out there, it's 12, you know, targets. Like, it's just, it's pretty obvious. And then for a good
maybe
defense.
Mix in a run for James White once in a while.
He had one run.
Mix in a pass attempt to Sony Michel once in a while. Just to make the defensive right. coordinator and the defensive personnel think, okay, it's not automatic. This is
yeah.
what they're going to do.
Well, not only them. I mean, they see it. But then the linebackers look out and they're like, okay, like, it's a lot easier. And, like, that's one thing I feel like we always look at other teams. Like, when they're playing the Packers, we could go, they don't do a lot of crazy things. You don't see the Packers go in motion a lot. You don't see the Packers have these bunch formations or, you know, trying to see what the defense is doing. And you say, well, look how boring that is. Look how predictable that is. Well, now aren't the Patriots kind of doing the same
totally
thing?
Totally predictable.
And so, yeah, that's something that they need to get figured out.
I'm sorry. I keep getting distracted by your sweater.
What's wrong with my sweater?
It's just...
This is a company sweater.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see you're wearing it. So, it's not so much that it's the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, Doug
official,
also got me the Smedium for some reason. I don't know why he did that.
It's not the sweater. It's the Smedium.
Yeah, the size of the sweater.
It's, you know...
Listen...
It's
one, beggars
of, those,
can't
it's
be
one of those tummy showing sweaters, which is just a little much
the problem.
For me.
And after a weekend, Dale, this isn't fair. After a football Sunday where I didn't get off the couch, yeah, this is could be better.
I'll try not to get distracted by the sweater.
Look, it's got the Patriots logo on there.
Nice.
So
yeah.
they must be in on it then, right? We're not selling these
well, we're
on the
here.
Side.
I mean,
no, that's true.
These nice folks are going to get the sweater. Or they thought, you know, that they were looking forward to getting the sweater until they saw you sitting here with
I'm
it.
I'm modeling the sweater.
And they thought, gee, this wasn't quite what I was expecting.
It's for the, I'm doing one for the team here. That's what that is. That's what that is.
I
got red and green Christmas trees.
It's,
that's
yeah,
nice.
You can't do better.
No.
I was half joking that it was tough to come up with any redeeming qualities for yesterday's game. But I also want to say this because we have all done this. I've done this. You've done this. All of us as Patriots fans, they don't throw up a lot of stink bombs, but they do occasionally throw up a stink bomb. They get beat 31-0 in Buffalo. They get trampled by the Kansas City Chiefs. And invariably, yeah, and invariably in the aftermath of those stink bombs, we go, that's it. It's over.
Yeah.
You know, Max was right. It, off the cliff. And I hesitate. I mean, realistically – at a minimum, they're going to win 4 of their last 6 games.
But let me ask you this. How many of those games that you referenced happened in the first part of the season?
Yeah, usually
maybe
that's
the first
does.
4
yeah.
weeks. Maybe the first week. I mean, they go
well,
all the
Buffalo
way back to the Bills
was
the first week. You know, Kansas City Chiefs a year ago was the first game. You know, and then you go back to 14, it was, what, the third or fourth game. And so we've seen them look different. That's one of the things you could always hang your hat on. You say you get half, you get through four games, now they get better. And they always show the records. You know, here's what they are in September. Here's what they are in October. And they get so much better. They even had the graphic yesterday, like what Brady's records are by month. And so if you tell me the defense doesn't have it figured out week four, okay. But Marcus Mariota and the Titans hadn't scored 30 points in a game all season long. They scored 34 against the Patriots in week 10. So the week 10, to me, is the most glaring issue that the Patriots have. And you throw into the fact that they're now 2-3 on the road, and it looks like they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs this year.
Was it as troubling as Stephon Gilmore's play yesterday?
He looked like he played, you know, the first four games last year. You got the pass interference, they can throw to him, and because he had been really good. And amazing that Gilmore was the story in this game, and Malcolm Butler's name barely came up.
He was limited in how much he even played, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he didn't play a ton, and then when he was out there, he was kind of shadowing Hogan, it seemed like. You know, and they put
That's why Hogan had such issues.
Well, I guess they weren't even looking his way because they knew that Butler was covering him. But yeah, for a week that we barely talked about Gilmore, and he said, hey, Corey Davis is a good receiver, but Mariota can't really throw the ball. He's not very accurate. He's not going to be able to hurt them. You know, 28 points last Monday night was the season high that they had had. They did that against the Cowboys. But they went in there right away. Oh, another issue I had. Do you like the short kick, the short kickoff? I'm done with the short kickoff. I was 2 weeks ago done with the short kickoff.
I mean, I sort of understand what they call it, what, a mortar kick or something. I kind of understand what they're doing. They think they're going to be able to stop you before the 25-yard line. They're going to get a net gain when they do it.
But of what? Maybe 5 yards?
Well, that's
6 yards?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I just think they're outthinking themselves. And I thought that earlier in the year, too. And especially against a team like this. Now, their offense ended up looking pretty good. But throughout the season, they had not been very good. So would you rather give Marcus Mariota the ball on the 25 and say, all right, here you go. Start there on the 25. You got to go 75 yards. Or kick it off to him. And if you have a bad coverage, now they get the ball at midfield. Like that, you started out the game poorly.
The very first play of the game.
And then Tennessee never looked back from there.
What's Deion Lewis's problem?
What do you mean? What's his problem? He doesn't have a problem.
No, yeah.
They just won. What are you talking about? He doesn't have a problem.
So when he was here,
yeah,
they weren't cheap because they signed him, right?
I think they were cheap. He was looking to get cash in after the fact.
So he said if you go cheap, you get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
And they did yesterday, by the way. I can't argue with that part.
Yeah.
So is Tennessee cheap?
No, because they paid him.
Okay, but their record is what?
Oh, they 1-0 against the Patriots.
Yeah, how's their record on Deion? I mean, I understand.
See, I love it.
I understand you're bitter, and I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make it personal and everything. I mean, I heard Logan Ryan. I heard Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
Kind of handle things differently.
But
than
how do you
Deion
think they
did.
Really feel?
I don't know.
I bet. How do you think Malcolm Butler really feels? I bet he feels a lot like Deion Lewis did.
So it is a little personal.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheat. You get your ass kicked.
That was pretty good. I don't know who the cheerleader was there, but
Wacky
that's great.
Funster.
They won. Now, I mean, they may face each other again, and it may not go as well for Deion Lewis, potentially, but you win, you can say whatever you want.
Oh, that's what time.
You know, he wasn't saying this before the game. He wasn't saying this, you know, had they lost, he wasn't still, you know, complaining about it. We never would have known. But, yeah, he could say it. I mean, my first reaction to it as a Patriots fan was, all right, like, okay, calm down. But then, just as a football fan, I love it. He's showing some personality, talking trash. They won. He can say whatever he wants.
Tom Brady said this morning when he was on with Jerry and Mutt, basically what you just said. If you win, you get to say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And he did. And good for him. Generally speaking, I think it's probably not – it doesn't serve you well in the long run. I mean, it made him feel better.
Well,
it made him feel better yesterday.
What would be negative about it for him?
That, like you said, they play again later.
Oh,
on
if they
the
play
road,
each other down the road,
kicked,
yeah. I mean, maybe
term, not mine.
Right. But what if they win again? I mean, then he just keeps talking. I mean, I have no problem with him doing that. I mean, he obviously, you saw how emotional he got at his press conference, right? When he finally signed with the Titans, he's one of these guys that nobody believes in me, and blah 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 blah. And that's fine. A lot of guys use that as motivation, even though
when you win, you know, you could say a lot of things. It does.
You know, the Patriots did take a chance on him, so at one point
they did
believe
in
him. But whatever, he wants to move on from that. He wants to talk about his team now, and so they won. He could say whatever he wants. There is always a chance it can come back to bite you. But right now, I mean, he's a very emotional player, and so he got to say how he felt. I mean, he'd been thinking about this probably for at least a year, maybe even going back to before last season. I'm sure he wanted more money, and he knew it wasn't going to happen here, and so he's been holding it in for that long.
So the celebration has begun nationwide. All you have to do is turn on NFL Network or ESPN.
It's over.
I mean, and people are so excited. Greeny is so excited. Rex is so excited. You can imagine what Max is like today.
But, like, so Greeny, that's Greenberg, right?
Yeah.
Mike Greenberg. Isn't he a Jets fan?
Well,
so
that's what
are you
saying.
So excited about?
Well, yeah.
Did you see the Jets?
They might fire his
Did
coach
you
today.
Did see the Jets? Holy smokes.
Yeah, but he has to take pleasure where he can because the Jets aren't going to give it to him. So the pleasure he takes is the Patriots took it on the chin yesterday. That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
No, that's all anybody cares about right now.
No, they did. But they got the bye week, then they got the Jets, and then, you know, they're still going to win the division. Nobody's saying they're not going to win the division. But now if you want to say their Super Bowl chances have gone down, I would agree with that. Because as it stands
sure.
right now, I mean, they have to play wild card weekend, and they have to go on the road in the divisional round. I mean, this team feels like a team that needs home field in order to win, to get back to the Super Bowl.
Because we live here and because the majority, vast majority of us are Patriots fans, and I've said this a lot, I think we underestimate how much the rest of America hates you. Hates everything about
does.
You.
Oh, yeah,
they are so sick of your winning. They're so sick of your coach. They're so sick of your quarterback.
Yeah.
They're so sick of the Patriot way. They're so sick of Rich Keefe's Christmas sweater.
Well,
they
don't know why.
Sick of everything.
I just debuted it. It looks pretty good. It's a little snug, but other than that, what are you going to do?
Well, you work out.
I don't think I can take it off, actually, at this point. It's kind of on there. Do you have a pair of scissors, Doug? I can cut this thing off? I'm starting to lose air.
There's a certain sausage quality to the whole
really on there.
Fashion statement.
It's a little chilly in here, though, so it's probably for the best. I'm not hot yet. Getting there.
When Trey Flowers ends up sitting beside you and takes
we
a gander
at that sweater.
We got to get
him one. I want to see Trey Flowers fill out one of these
sweaters.
Oh, yeah,
that's probably going to happen. His sweater will fit great, won't it? But America
is
reveling in the fact
that
you took it on the chin yesterday.
Yeah, and again, I think because it happened so late in the season, it seemed very surprising. I mean, they were, a touchdown favorite on the road, you know, against a team that was 500. A team that might not even make the playoffs, by the way. The Titans, I know they're acting like they just won the Super Bowl.
Well, Deion thinks so,
Deion did, but they were all excited, and they should be. It was a nice win, but they still might not even make the playoffs, where the Patriots, without question, are going to win the division. But it's then from there. Like, you know, are the Chiefs better than them? I don't think the Steelers necessarily are, but they played better more recently.
You get a chance to see it in a few
weeks. In a couple weeks, yeah, you're gonna get a chance to see it. Houston's been playing well. They had a bye this week, but they've been playing really well. So, yeah, they're not. They used to be kind of head and shoulders above everybody in the AFC, and now I think they're back in the pack.
Well, the return of Rob Gronkowski, whenever it happens, presumably, you know, 2 weeks from yesterday. Will the return of Rob Gronkowski solve some of the offensive issues?
Well, I mean, it should
because
solve
some. Because
let's
be honest, they haven't used him. They
haven't, I was going to say,
he's got part of the problem.
He's got one touchdown and two red zone targets, so I don't know if he comes back and you're like, all set, nothing to see here, because they're still trying to figure out, you know, he's averaging less yards per game than any year except his rookie year. So it's not like they're using him a ton, but he does open things up for other guys. He's also a good blocker, so I think Sony Michel would want him back out there. So he helps, there's no doubt, but I don't know if he comes back and you're like, all right, they're back to being the best team.
There they go.
I don't think so.
Chris Hogan says, can you throw me the ball once in a while now?
He's out there? You wouldn't know. No, but I still think, I mean, the way the weekend has played out, the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC.
Seems it.
And right now, and they have a two-game lead right now for home field.
Although, you got to give swag factor to the Rams, because when you've got a play call at the line of scrimmage that's Halle Berry.
And she recognizes
and she
it?
She responds to you. I mean,
good.
Let's be honest.
Do you think her and Jared Goff maybe could have a thing? I think she's single.
Is she?
Yeah, I believe so. Not that I've kept up on that, but I believe that she may be.
Although
something to think about.
She gets a gander of you in that sweater. That might.
It's on the internet. She might find it. She might.
That might close the deal for you.
Could work.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
Here's a real sweet win. You know, especially when you used to be there and they didn't want to bring you back. So, definitely real sweet. I'm happy my teammates came out and played, and I love these guys.
So it is a little personal.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheat, get your ass kicked.
You know, Deion had a great career here. It's hard to see great players go, and I know it's not the first time it's happened. It's happened to a lot of guys, and you know, I'm sure when they go to different places, they want to beat us. Absolutely. I can understand that emotion. So we've had guys that come from other teams and they want to beat that team. So it's just part of the sport. You know, I give them credit. They beat us. And when you win, you know, you could say a lot of things. It doesn't, you know, that's the reality of winning. So we'll just take our lumps and try to learn from them and come out here and do a lot better job the next 6 weeks.
First Deion Lewis and then Tom Brady. See, that comment, the comments there from Deion Lewis, while Rich Keefe approved because he's got an ability to hold a grudge, which you respect.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
I had a bigger problem with the other thing that he had to say. The other part about how to beat the Patriots. And in effect, and I saw Teddy Bruschi took exception to it on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Where in effect he's saying, you know, I know that if you get physical with them, they'll quit. What?
Well, did that happen yesterday?
I
don't know if they quit, but it was a terrible game.
Oh, no,
start
it was an
to
awful
finish,
game.
You know?
Did you feel confident in the plan that you guys assembled coming into this one? Because it certainly looked like you played that way.
Yeah, very confident. Everybody's confident. Like I told these guys, I played there, so I know those guys, and I know that if you be physical with them and let them have it, they'll fold.
They'll fold.
Did they do that when he was here?
Maybe. Wait, they didn't win every game. Maybe they did.
Was he one of those guys who did that when he was here?
Maybe.
Presumably not, though, right? I mean, presumably.
Well, he didn't say that. He didn't say those other guys.
As Teddy Bruschi said, and I'm paraphrasing his tweet, he said, is he talking about the people that he won with? Is that what he said?
Probably
saying?
Some of them, yeah. I guess.
He makes it. No, he didn't make it sound like some of them.
You think the whole team?
Well, that's basically what he was saying.
Yeah. I mean, I mean that's how he feels. And again, he's the one laughing right now. They won. I mean, he could say whatever he wants. So I agree with what Brady said this morning. You know, when you win, you can say what you want. And those guys get motivated when they play against former teams. You know, Brady's obviously never experienced that,
right,
only being here. But these other guys that they find out that a team that they were on didn't want them anymore, whether they were traded away or they just weren't re-signed for the amount of money that they thought they were worth, they're obviously bottling stuff up. Because Deion Lewis didn't even play very well in the game. Like they did a good job
on
him.
He
did not do
much. Say, look, I wasn't that good, but the team won.
No, and maybe and who knows what the week was like. Obviously, Mike Vrabel's very familiar with the team. So is Butler. So is Logan Ryan. But I'm sure they leaned on those guys a little bit for any extra detail that they could possibly give them. So I don't know how vocal Deion Lewis was during the week. But yeah, he was held to under 3 yards a carry. Like they did a good job on him, which is funny because going into the game, I thought he was their only offensive player that was going to give them problems, and it was really everybody else. You know, they did a good job limiting him, but Mariota had a good game, and they had a tough time with him. Corey Davis was great. Derrick Henry, who stinks, had 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, that was just – it was a crazy game. I think that was probably the most emotional of the comments by Lewis. To sort of – because that was – it's one thing to sort of celebrate, one thing to say the cheap line, because that's nothing to do with teammates. You know, that is all about Bill Belichick, Nick Caserio. That is all on them. But as soon as you say the line about, you know, the guys that they're going to fold, that one stings more than anything else.
Yeah, and I give him credit, I guess, for, you know, being willing to say what he thinks and living with it. But there are times when – hi, James.
Yeah.
How are you? There we go. Joining us now here at Gillette Stadium, New England Patriots running back James White. Hello, James. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How long does it take to get over something like that?
It's a tough loss. We obviously didn't play the way we wanted to. They beat us in all 3 phases of the game. Just something we got to learn from. We haven't been playing very well on the road this year, so definitely need to fix that.
Yeah, what goes into that? Because was it 2 years ago? You guys were 8-0 on the road, and you know you guys were fantastic. Last year, you had another really good record. What goes into that?
Just starting fast and playing for 60 minutes. When people are playing on their home field, they want to start fast, and you know they like to ride their crowd noise and all that stuff for the rest of the game. So we got to start fast and just play with intensity for 4 quarters, and we just definitely didn't do that.
Speaking of the crowd, it seemed like there was a lot of Patriots fans actually down there in Nashville.
There was. Obviously, we didn't use that to our advantage, but, you know, just got to play better. That's all.
Deion Lewis, former teammate of yours, after the game said some things pretty critical of the organization. One of the things he said was, I know that if you get physical with them, they'll fold.
He's just fired up, man. That's all, man. He's excited to play the game. I mean, facing your former team, he's just fired up and ready to go. That's pretty much all of it.
Now, I mean, you know, every week there's a chance you're going to face a former teammate. You know, that's just how the league works. But to see Lewis and Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler all on the other side, what was that like?
It's different seeing those guys on the other side. Those guys played well. We didn't. We just got to get better, man. We have so much more potential than what we've shown, and just got to find a way to, you know, live up to that potential.
Did you feel that they were doing something different from a pass rush scheme that you hadn't seen from them, because they were putting a lot of pressure on your quarterback?
It did some different things, but nothing that we couldn't handle. Just got to do a better job of blocking, including myself. And just got to be better, be more physical, just better communication, and just, you know, just giving Tom more time.
What's your honest thought of pass attempts to Tom Brady and him catching and running with the ball?
Because I'm good with it,
let's,
by the way.
Let's be honest.
See another one, I'm like, good
yeah,
it.
I'm all set with it. I don't know how you feel.
That was good, man.
Oh, come on. It was awful. He tripped over a yard line.
So when you guys are in the huddle and that play call, you're like, yeah, this will work. You're like, this is going to happen.
It did work. Turf monster guy.
Yeah.
Man, it happens, man.
I mean, let's take the slowest guy on the field and throw him the football, right? There's some logic there, but it escapes me.
Not expecting it.
Yeah, good point.
That's true.
Now, do you think that had something to do with the Titans doing the exact same thing with a quarterback who can run after he catches it, by the way? Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But overall, offensively, again, you mentioned the slow start. Really slow start for the defense, slow start for the offense. But anything you guys could take away from the performance yesterday? Obviously, not a ton of points, something that you guys aren't really used to doing.
I mean, not much to take away, but just being better, being more physical, better communication, just playing tougher. We just didn't do anything well.
Pretty quiet plane ride home?
Yeah, it's pretty quiet. Obviously, like I said, we didn't play to the way we wanted to play that football game from start to finish. It just was bad from the start and didn't get any better from there on out. So.
Is it a bad time for the bye week, or is it a good time for the bye week?
Good and bad, I guess.
Yeah.
The guys rest up. We got some guys banged up. Just take care of our bodies and, you know, come back ready to go, facing a division opponent. And I mean, that'd be another tough game on the road. And just got to prove we can play better on the road.
We knew that Trent Brown missed some practice time last week because he was sick. He was kind of in and out of the game yesterday, I assume, for the same thing. Is there some bug going through the room right now?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You're not sick.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, good.
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's flu season, though. Just got to, you know, keep those germs away.
Now, I'm curious. You grew up in Florida, right? You went to high school in Florida, and then you ended up going to college in Wisconsin where it's freezing. Mm-hmm. So what was that first experience? Because now it's starting to get cold here, and you guys really play well when it's cold. But what was that shock going from a high school kid in Florida, where I can't imagine what the coldest game was for you there, to Wisconsin and some of those Big Ten games?
It's a little bit different. I mean, I'm a guy that's pretty much hot all the time, so the cold doesn't bother me too much. Obviously, I'm a little used to all the snow and traveling in the snow and all that stuff. But after the first year, I was fine after that.
Don't you think that as an offensive player, you have the advantage when it's crummy anyway? You know where you're going. They got to try to react to you.
I mean, both sides of football have to deal with it. I don't think either side has an advantage. Just got to deal with the elements and play football. Just can't let it distract you.
How is it that some of these teams – because what I don't understand is you'll have teams that play in domes, but they have guys that played college like outside, and yet they sort of adapt to their team. Like New Orleans and Atlanta are these dome teams, even though, you know, Drew Brees played at Purdue, or like all these guys, like they played outside. Matt Ryan played at BC, and yet now they're dome teams. Like, you just sort of take on the culture, I guess, of your NFL team.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, but you just got to deal with the elements, even though you don't get to play in them year round or whatnot. You're in it that one day, you just got to deal with it for that day and be prepared for it.
And you know that playing here and playing for Bill Belichick, chances are you're going to be practicing out when it's crummy. You won't be in that dome out back here very often.
Yeah, definitely. And practice is going to be worse because you don't have the heated benches and all that other stuff. So, I mean, you're cold for 2.5 hours straight without. So, I mean, I think it prepares us pretty well, though.
Now, you got Sony Michel back after he missed some time. Didn't have as many carries as he normally would. Maybe the way the game was dictated that. But how do you think he performed coming back?
I mean, I think he performed well. I said, obviously, he didn't get that many opportunities, and we were down, so that kind of halted us from, you know, using the run game that much. But he's a guy who's been working hard to, you know, get back as fast as possible. And, I mean, he'll continue to help us, and, I mean, he'll get healthier with the bye week and stuff too, so that'll help.
Do you think that there could be some benefit to throwing the ball to Sony once in a while and running you once in a while so that they're not thinking, oh, James is in, they're going to throw the ball. Oh, Sony's in, they're going to run the ball.
No, we do it. Like I said, Coach McDaniel does a great job of, you know, dialing up the game plan. And, I mean, yesterday, obviously, we were down a bunch. So, I mean, that kind of messes things up. So, I mean, he does a great job of putting us in roles where we can succeed. And he'll dial up the right plays for us.
Now, you got any plans for the bye week? You going to get out of here for a little bit, or what are you doing?
I'll try to. I'll figure out something. by the end of the week, I don't know.
Of course, some of that may be dependent on how many days off the coach gives you.
Maybe not as many as you thought after.
Also play a factor, yeah.
Could be a factor there as well. I do want to, before we let you go, I want to ask you about leadership because you're one of the captains on this team. When teams are struggling, it's when leadership is the most important. What does this group of captains need to do to help get this team over this hump here?
I mean, just keep everybody focused and just stay together. Even though we didn't play very well, we're still a tight-knit group. Play for one another. Just know that we can be better. Everybody just take a look in the mirror and just look at yourself and see what each and every one of us can do better as a player, as a teammate, as a team as a whole. And as I said, get some good work during this bye week, and we'll just continue to improve.
We appreciate you coming by, as always. Good to see you, and the folks out here, happy to see you too. And best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. James White, Patriots running Thanks. Back, joining us, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. We'll come back in just a moment. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on the exclusive home of the Red Sox, WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe live at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday with some of our friends and customers and clients. We're happy to have them all with us here today. They're going to get a sweater just like Uncle Rich's.
I don't know why you keep pointing that out, Dale. I mean, you could wear one too if you'd like.
I didn't.
This one doesn't fit either. That's not stopping anybody.
So,
that's all right.
Yesterday morning, I was listening to the award-winning NFL Sunday.
It's a good show.
I like it a lot.
It's a really nice program.
So I was listening to it yesterday.
Yeah.
And you guys had Mike Florio on.
Yes.
Pro Football Talk. And he did say something that sort of caught my attention, shall I say, when you guys were talking to Mike Florio about Rob Gronkowski.
Well, you know, when the Super Bowl ended and he was asked about rumors of a possible retirement, his first comment was, "I don't know how you heard about that," which implies a lot. I think if the Patriots had won the Super Bowl, he would have retired. And I think after this season, which has been very disappointing for him, and it's a second straight year with a significant incentive package, that he's possibly, and I think we're probably now close to saying, probably not going to hit any of the four markers, each of which pay him $1.1 million, and he can make a maximum of $3.3 million that way. He's way behind in catches, yards, and touchdowns. He needs to participate in 80% of the offensive snaps. He will have played in 70% of the games if he misses today. So he's got an uphill climb to hit those numbers. Last year he hit all of them. I think that will be a factor in his ultimate decision. And, you know, the fact that he had a chance to play somewhere else and didn't want to, I think that there's a good chance he just walks away after this year, unless the Patriots are willing to rip up that last year of the contract and give him some form of security that's not tied to being healthy and producing on the field.
Yeah.
First of all, I agree with everything Florio said, and I think the chances of the Patriots doing what he just described are pretty slim.
It's very slim. I think this is it. I mean, I really do. And not that, you know, the game wasn't enough of a downer. I think the reality is this is it. They tried trading him. You know, they tried trading him in the offseason, and it didn't take because, you know, he wouldn't call the Detroit Lions. You know, so why would a team want to trade for him if he threatens to retire, right? It's like having a no-trade clause without really having one. So that worked once. Is that going to work again? And, you know, are the Patriots, we've seen them ask guys to take pay cuts all the time. And usually it's not a player, you know, of such stature. It's like a Danny Amendola or this year a Dwayne Allen. But are you going to go to Rob Gronkowski after giving him two incentive deals? This year, Florio's right, he's not going to make any of those. And then say, hey, we'll have you back next year, but it can't be at $9 million bucks. What is he going to say to that?
He's due to make $12 million next year.
And oh, is the cap hit nine or so? Whatever it was. Okay, so $12 million bucks.
He's due to make close to $12 million next year, final year of his deal. Now, with Le'Veon Bell, we're watching him light a match to $8.5 million, so I guess it is theoretically possible Rob Gronkowski could walk away from $12
million. But if I said, you know, who would you bet on to have three more really good years, Le'Veon Bell or Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, no, easily.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, because that's the other interesting thing. Like, he won't be unless he's just cut, but if he was a free agent, what do you think Gronk would get? Like how many years? Like how what?
Like four years at $15-16 million a year.
I don't even know if it would be 4 years. He's already played nine.
I know.
This is his ninth season,
and there's
he's had a million
somebody
injuries.
Out there who's willing to.
Sure, there's dumb teams. No, there's definitely dumb teams. But I believe when he said he wants to play with Brady, that's so clear because he could have been playing with Matt Stafford and the Lions right now and making more money, or maybe even having an extra year or two on his deal, more security, more money. But he wants to play with Brady, but he also wants to get paid too. And I don't think that they're both going to happen here.
So Florio had a slight addition to that. Yeah. We heard the nut graph, as Michael Holly used to say, but Florio had more to add.
So you think he'd rather walk away entirely from football than play for another team?
Well, look, he had his chance to play for another team, and he didn't want to do it. And I think if
Look at that as him just trying to play hardball and like and getting skittish and losing because they were playing chicken and he lost?
I don't know that I'd use hardball to describe Gronk because
a chicken. He was
I don't think you play hardball with the Patriots, right? I think he did. I mean, he blinked before it was even time to blink. I mean, he's really bad at it. When the Patriots were looking to trade him, and they were making calls about trading him 3 days before the draft, 2 days before the draft, he professed his loyalty to the Patriots again. I just think he doesn't want to screw up what he thinks is a good thing, and he's convinced that the best possible thing for him is to play for the Patriots. Now, you know, if there's some other situation out there where he could become convinced it's ideal for him, then so be it. But I don't know where that is. And as long as Tom Brady's playing, I don't think he believes there's another place that is better off for him.
I mean, because what's out of all the scenarios that could happen?
I think him retiring is much more likely than playing somewhere else.
Yeah, I think him retiring is maybe the most likely scenario. Him getting cut, I think, is more likely than him being back on the same deal or certainly getting an extension here.
Now, Gronk practiced last week, although he was listed as limited, but he did practice last week. They did something a little unusual in that they brought him along. Now, we were under the impression Saturday that he was not going to play, and yet then we found out he traveled, so it was at least possible until Bill Belichick released his list of inactives. It was possible. He doesn't do that very often. Like, Matthew Slater traveled when he was hurt because he was, in effect, like another special teams coach out there.
They took Josh Gordon to Detroit this
because
year.
Because they're trying to get him, yep. You know, trying to get him acclimated to the offense and play calling. Jacoby Brissett, they used to bring him for the exact same reason. They're trying to teach him the ins and outs. Bill Belichick doesn't take tourists very often. He took a tourist yesterday, and we saw a couple of shots of Gronk standing there on the sideline. Do you think Gronk thought he was going to play yesterday when he made the trip?
I bet they told him that he wasn't. Well, the other thing which is weird is, so on Friday, Gronk said that it's up to the coach. Remember, the media was talking to him, so he was at his locker and he was talking, and they were trying to get the information out of him, and he did a good Patriots job of not giving the information, but they said, how do you feel? Are you going to play? Do you think you'll play? And he kept saying it was up to the coaches, which I said, I doubt it. Like, it's more a trainer's decision, right? Like, he has to be cleared to play.
See, I don't think it is.
You think it's a coach decision?
Yes. In my opinion,
that's all
I have.
No,
I think that the fact that he's practicing and I think what the coach is saying is, you've got to let me know that you're ready to go out there and play. You've got to show me. The trainer says you can play. The doctor says you can play. But you don't seem to be ready yet.
But if Gronk and the trainer say he's cleared to play, I would be surprised if the coach said not good enough. Isn't that all you need? If you get the trainer, because most players are going to say, I'm good to go all the time. That's what players are going to say.
But the trainers have a better idea. But I think this coach, especially this head coach, wants him to say, no, I want to play. I want to go out there.
But I'm assuming that he is.
And I'm not sure that he is.
Yeah, maybe he's not. But I'm just saying, if you take that soundbite, and again, it could be a straight lie.
Yep.
And I think that it kind of is already. But if he says, hey, it's up to the coaches, it's up to the coaches, that would imply to me that he is saying, I'm good to go, and if he's cleared, but he's not going. Now, he's already missed more games this year than he did all of last season. Like, we're already there. And that's another reason why he's got to be so frustrated.
I think it's weighing on him.
Yeah, because he probably thought this year was going to be different.
Yeah, he was talking last year about how great he felt, and, you know, felt better than he ever has.
And now back to square one.
Now the ankle hurts. Now the back hurts.
Right.
And it's like, oh, really? We're going back to this again?
Right, and he missed 3 games in 4 weeks. And on the field, usually he misses a couple of games for hamstring, forearm, whatever.
Right.
But when he's out there, he is dominant. And really, with the exception of week 1, you haven't seen the dominant, like, oh, my God, nobody else in the league makes that play, Gronk.
You get an occasional catch on the sidelines a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
You know, we go, wow, look at that.
Right.
But you're right.
It's limited.
There is no domination. There is no, you know, Godzilla rumbling through the entire defense type of thing.
No, you haven't seen it. I do. Again, I stand by it, and I don't know if all the stats are there for it or not, but I do feel like the coverage, there's been a lot of double and triple coverage. I mean, you go back to the Detroit game, they were all over him. Some of the red zone, one of the reasons why he hasn't been targeted much in the red zone is they're throwing everybody at him, which they should. I've always thought, since his rookie year, I thought that's what teams should do. And every once in a while, you'll see him wide open, or you'll see just one linebacker on him, and you say, well, that team doesn't know what they're doing. But this year, they've had a lot more success against him, and Brady's looked in other directions.
Courtesy of Chris Price, Boston Sports Journal, here are some numbers. Rob Gronkowski's been targeted 43 times this year. He has 29 catches. So a catch rate of 67%. That seems low to me for a guy like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. Worse what, catch-wise? Oh,
yeah.
Gordon.
Yeah.
Well, Josh Gordon
49
yesterday,
targets, 26 catches, 53% catch rate.
Well, yesterday it was 4 catches on 12 targets. You know, that's not a good percentage at all.
Yeah, some of those are Brady's, I understand. Right. Some of them are Gordon's.
Some are Gordon's. He had a couple times. He slipped again yesterday. You know, a couple
everybody
guys
was slipping yesterday.
No, that's true. It wasn't just him, but that's been a couple of weeks in a row now where he's kind of gone down running a route. A couple of them, too, were like double and triple teamed, and they were still throwing him in there. And I understand Gordon's a guy that can make plays. Like, he's one of those guys who's open when he's not open. I understand.
Right.
But there were certain times where on some of those 12 targets where he was just trying to make sure it wasn't picked off. Like, he was just diving in and kind of like batting it down. So those – those were tough. Those weren't all equal.
Top two catch rates, 83% for Philip Dorsett. 30 targets, 25 catches.
Pretty good.
And second most, probably not hard to figure out, James White.
Yeah.
89 targets, 66 catches, 74%. Mm-hmm. You've got Edelman, who's at 71%. Gronk, as we said, is at 67. Hogan is at 66. He's only been targeted 35 times for 23 catches so far this year.
Now, I mean, Gordon needs to be better than that, but the routes that he runs, I think a lot of them are going to be lower percentage. It's just how it is. Like James White, Edelman, those guys, you're throwing pretty close to the line of scrimmage often or within 5 yards even, whereas Gordon, you're taking these deep shots. So the percentage is going to be lower, but yesterday was pretty glaring. Like he was really trying to force feed the ball to Gordon and – you know, without getting the whole angle of the game, you don't know if he was missing some open guys or not, but it just felt like if there's three guys on Gordon, maybe there's somebody open on the other side.
So how much of what we saw yesterday goes a couple of times yesterday that he should have completed? I saw him missing receivers. Now, we've been talking about this all year long. He has not looked like the guy that we've seen play quarterback here.
Well, and what I also don't know is was the offensive line particularly bad, or was Brady just kind of holding on to the ball a little bit
too
more?
Long, yeah.
And like, cause I don't know what the answer is to that, because there's been times where he has had not the starting five. Like, there's been an injury or two, and he makes those guys look fine. Like, he might get hurried a couple of times, maybe he takes a sack, but yesterday felt a whole lot different. Sacked 3 times, kind of went down, and like these plays, just these non-competitive plays.
Six times, I think.
I think it was.
It felt like more, but
it definitely felt like more. But and then you know he tackled himself on one play. That was as much as
turf
hard
monster,
as he went down.
I think James White.
That's what James White called.
Turf monster.
That goes in the box score as a turf monster tackle. But yeah, there was a lot of times where he didn't feel comfortable. And some of that has to be on, you know, LeAdrian Waddle playing a ton, Ted Karras getting the start. So there's definitely some of that. And Tennessee, maybe I didn't give him enough credit. I thought a lot of – because they had the number one scoring defense in the league. And I thought a lot of that had to do with their opponent. I wasn't really blown away by their defense, but maybe they're also a little bit better than I give them credit for.
It's safe to say, though, we have seen some slippage in Tom Brady's game this year.
Yeah, he's worse than he was last year. Now, he was the MVP last year, so it was going to be hard to top last season. But it's not even equal to, right? Like, it's not there either. And we were talking about the incentives for Gronk, but the incentives
Brady's
for
not
Brady,
going to get his either.
He's not going to sniff his. And so the
not
last
that we're going to be holding bake sales for him.
No, I think he's going to be able to get over it. But the whole idea that you know you're making him get top five in all these categories, and he was top five in all of them last year, but he needed to be in order to win the MVP. Now this year, he might not be top five in any of them.
And
like that's
might
pretty
not be
remarkable.
Top 10.
No, like he has definitely slipped off.
Touchdown passes are going to be real tough for him to.
Yeah,
load up on.
How often, especially in today's NFL, do you see a game where he doesn't throw a touchdown? And what does he have, 1 in the last 3 weeks, I think? Like, that is pretty shocking. And it's not like it was a running game. It's not like, oh, they faced the Indianapolis Colts from a few years ago and just handed the ball off to Jones Gray. No, he threw the ball 41 times and still didn't have a touchdown and didn't really have any answers for Tennessee yesterday.
And if we think that the mere reinsertion of Rob Gronkowski into the lineup is going to change all of what we saw yesterday,
no.
We are whistling past the graveyard.
No, I mean, and, you know, obviously he's better than Allen, even at whatever percentage he is, or he's better than Hollister, who played, by the way.
I saw him.
Jacob Hollister action.
I did, yeah.
Nice grab. But yeah, Gronk helps them, but they had so many issues yesterday. Gronk has nothing to do with them allowing 34 points. You know, that might even be more. Like, I don't know what's worse. You know, scoring just 10 points against Tennessee, but at least you can say, well, Tennessee's got a good defense. But allowing 34 to Marcus Mariota and the Titans, which they do not have a very good offense.
See, I think that's the problem with yesterday's game is that it was every phase.
It was everywhere, yeah.
I mean, special teams weren't good, as you said.
Right,
you
out of the gate.
Kick return coverage team was bad. Defense was bad. Offense was bad. To your point, if you're a Patriots fan, the fact that all three phases of the game got their butts handed to them yesterday by a team that's good but not that good.
Do you think there's anything to the familiarity between, like, if you look at the losses this year, you know, Matt Patricia, Mike Vrabel, I guess even, I know he's not the coach, but Tom Coughlin.
A great stat yesterday during the telecast when Belichick and Vrabel had been together as player coach here for 125 games.
Yeah, more than any other that had faced each other later on, right?
Now, like obviously, Patricia and, didn't Vermeil. Play for Belichick.
Yeah, yeah, no, they're not
time.
Talking about that, but they're talking about coach player, then that player becomes a coach. And it was far and away. I mean, there was nobody else even close on that list. I think it was Dick Vermeil, Herm Edwards.
Something like that.
And they played like a third of the time or half the time.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. Jerry's in Framingham. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Dale?
Very well, thank you.
It was nice to join you at the game last night. I was sitting around the broadcast booth for a while. That was a nice win for the Bruins.
Yes, it was.
Sure was.
So we've been asking ourselves, how is this deterioration in performance in Tom Brady going to show up as he ages? The performance degradation is going to show up not in a physical ability, not in can I still make that 45-yard out throw, because you can, through training and other stuff, you can kind of negate or at least slow down that age progression failure. The one that you can't really train for is the cognitive degradation as a result of age. The ability to read and react, for lack of a better phrase, that synapse, when you're 25...
You're using a lot of big words.
Take it as a measure of disrespect.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
that read and react takes less time for the brain to process open receiver and release. It takes less time at 25 than it does at 40. So the first signs that he is, as Max Kellerman would say, running up to the edge will be he's not going to make his reads. He's not going to make his reads as quick, and that's going to affect his ability to get the ball. The ball will be late. The ball will be low and away, you know, those kind of things. That's what we're seeing.
Well, I mean, you do bring up a couple of interesting points, but part of it now that is part of it. In that, look, he's missing passes. I'm not used to seeing him miss.
Well, and that's what he needs to do too, right? Because like we had this whole conversation with Brady versus Aaron Rodgers and you saw it with Brady trying to catch that pass and run with it. Like he's not the best athlete, so it's upstairs which separates him from everybody
Always
else.
Always did.
And the ability to get rid of the ball quickly.
But the question has also been all season long. Now he didn't play yesterday, but you know, has Rob Gronkowski lacked the ability to separate? Is Chris Hogan not being thrown to because he can't separate? Julian Edelman is separating. James White is great coming out of the backfield.
Edelman took a beating yesterday, too, in that one series.
Pounded.
Holy smokes.
And got hurt
crushed.
Late and left the field.
Right, so the bye week is at a great time for him.
Yeah,
who knows what would have happened with his ankle this week. But, yeah, they were getting beat up a little bit. Again, Tennessee maybe a little bit better. I still don't think they're a great team. They might not even make the playoffs. But just defensively, they hit pretty hard. They were a lot better than I give them credit for.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.